plant ingredients contain antagonists like phytic acid, and these compounds literally bind to trace minerals in the gut.
So they severely reduce what's actually absorbed by the fish.
Exactly. We're formulating these feeds with high total mineral levels, but the bioavailable fraction, the part that actually makes it into the bloodstream, is often totally inadequate. The research really stresses that we have to stop looking at total input and start formulating based strictly on availability.
A whole new era of communication in the global aquaculture industry is coming. Now you have the brightest minds in aquaculture right in your pocket. And what's best? You can listen to all of them while driving to a farm, traveling, or running errands. It's never been this good, and it's never been this simple. Welcome to the Aquaculture Podcast Show, the first AI-based podcast in aquaculture, where you'll find cutting-edge insights in everything that's working in aquaculture, nutrition, health, and production. Inspired by the 2025 article titled, Revisiting Vitamin and Trace Mineral Nutrition in Atlantic Salmon Farming, with Emphasis on Fish Health, by Philip Anthony J.P. et al.
If you were prepping an elite athlete for like a grueling obstacle course, you wouldn't just fuel them with the exact same meal plan you'd use for a light neighborhood jog.
Nah.
I mean, you'd have to adjust for that massive physiological stress.
Right, exactly, because the biological demand completely changes under extreme pressure.
Yeah, but in commercial salmon production, we've historically relied on these baseline nutritional guidelines that were basically designed for that light jog. So today we're doing a deep dive into some really fascinating new research by Philip, Kortner, Vishusen, and their colleagues. It's called Revisiting Vitamin and Trace Mineral Nutrition in Atlantic Salmon Farming, with Emphasis on Fish Health.
And what they're arguing is that we are fundamentally underfueling modern farm salmon. We're using these outdated baselines that completely ignore the intense stress of commercial farming.
WiseNetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
Right, so let's get into the new baseline they propose, which is the requirement for health and welfare. Because the classical model, it focuses pretty much strictly on maintenance and growth, right?
Yeah, maintenance, growth, and reproduction. But think about what you actually have in a modern high-performance system. You've got high stocking densities, frequent handling, and just massive environmental shifts.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and those constantly challenge the immune and antioxidant systems of the fish.
Precisely. And a really huge driver of this nutritional gap is our industry shift toward plant-based feeds.
I want to push back on that for a second, actually, because honestly, I have a hard time wrapping my head around our current strategy there. I mean, aren't we just fighting a losing battle by dumping premium supplements into plant-heavy feeds if those ingredients naturally contain compounds that just lock the nutrients away?
Well, it is a massive hurdle, I'll give you that. Plant ingredients contain antagonists like phytic acid, and these compounds literally bind to trace minerals in the gut.
So they severely reduce what's actually absorbed by the fish.
Exactly. We're formulating these feeds with high total mineral levels, but the bioavailable fraction, the part that actually makes it into the bloodstream, is often totally inadequate. The research really stresses that we have to stop looking at total input and start formulating based strictly on availability.
Okay, so if plant-based feeds are locking away essential nutrients, what happens when these fish hit their most stressful growth phases? Because that seems to be where the zinc and selenium deficit just crashes the system. I mean, zinc is absolutely critical during that highly stressful seawater transfer, right?
It is incredibly critical. Zinc acts as sort of the structural glue for cellular barriers. Without enough of it, the gills and skin literally lose their integrity under the osmotic stress of salt water.
Wait, really? Just from a zinc deficiency?
Yeah, and plus, a deficiency directly leads to cataracts. Yet, because of those plant-based antagonists we just talked about, zinc availability in modern feeds is incredibly low.
And then we've got selenium, which gets rapidly depleted from the tissues during handling and low oxygen stress.
Which is really dangerous. Selenium is foundational for the fish's antioxidant defense. And the biological need for both of these minerals spikes massively during smoltification and the post-smolt phase in seawater.
But the industry is sort of handcuffed by strict regulatory maximum limits on trace mineral supplementation, right? Which raises a major operational question. If you're a producer, how do you legally protect your fish and optimize their health when you're hitting these hard regulatory ceilings?
Well, regulators often set these maximum limits based on consumer safety and environmental accumulation. But the researchers point out that these ceilings are frequently just way too low to support optimal health under commercial stress.
Because the limits don't account for the reduced bioavailability in plant-based diets.
Right, or the heightened physiological demands of modern farming. It's a real bottleneck.
Let's look at how the production environment itself is changing things. We're seeing a huge industry shift toward closed containment systems. If you're managing one of these indoor facilities, taking natural sunlight out of the equation means your fish's natural ability to produce its own vitamin D essentially plummets.
And vitamin D is heavily involved in immune modulation and disease resistance. When you remove sunlight, the dietary requirement has to compensate massively to maintain those immunological pathways.
So the feed basically has to carry the entire load.
Exactly. The feed has to do all the heavy lifting.
We're also feeding them incredibly high lipid, high energy diets today. And that completely changes the requirement for choline. I like to think of choline as like a fleet of freight trains.
Yeah.
If we're feeding them these super high lipid diets, but we don't give them enough trains to move that fat, it's just going to pile up and get stuck.
That's a perfect way to look at it. And that freight train needs to be moving nonstop. Choline literally binds to those fats so they can exit the enterocytes, which are the cells lining the gut.
So if the feed is highly lipid dense and choline is deficient, the fish suffer from severe lipid accumulation in the intestine.
Yeah, the requirement scales directly with the lipid consumption and growth rate.
Wow. So the crucial takeaway for you is that dietary formulations really have to evolve past minimal growth thresholds. We have to actively support health under commercial stressors, factoring in the feed matrix and the production environment. We just can't rely on data generated under perfect laboratory conditions to fuel a high-performance commercial operation.
Which brings us right back to where we started. You have to feed the athlete for the obstacle course ahead, not just the starting line.
Right. And speaking of that obstacle course, here's a final provocative thought to chew on. Since early life stages like smolts aren't destined for immediate human consumption, should the industry advocate for life stage-specific regulatory limits for trace minerals? I mean, allowing higher supplementation during their most vulnerable transitions might just be the key to building a much more robust fish.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow the Aquaculture Podcast Show on your favorite platform. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook to stay updated on the latest episodes and industry insights. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.